And Grace and Sophie are going to come and bring our readings to us.
The first reading is from Exodus 33, verses 18 to 23. Then Moses requested, "Please, let me see the dazzling light of your presence." The Lord answered, "I will make all my splendor pass before you, and in your presence I will pronounce my sacred name. I am the Lord, and I show compassion and pity on those I choose. I will not let you see my face, because no one can see me and stay alive. But here is a place beside me where you can stand on a rock. When the dazzling light of my presence passes by, I will put you in an opening in the rock and cover you with my hand until I have passed by. Then I will take my hand away, and you will see my back, but not my face."
The second reading is from John 14, verses 1 to 14. "Let not your hearts be troubled. Believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many rooms. If it were not so, would I have told you that I go to prepare a place for you? And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and take you to myself, that where I am you may also be. And you know the way to where I am going." Thomas said to him, "Lord, we do not know where you are going. How can we know the way?" Jesus said to him, "I am the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. If you had known me, you would have known my Father also. From now on, you do know him and have seen him." Philip said to him, "Lord, show us the Father, and it is enough for us." Jesus said to him, "Have I been with you so long, and you still do not know me, Philip? Whoever has seen me has seen the Father. How can you say, 'Show us the Father'? Do not believe that I am in the Father, and the Father is in me. The words that I say to you, I do not speak on my own authority, but the Father who dwells in me does his work. Believe me that I am in the Father, and the Father is in me, or else believe on my account of the works themselves. Truly, truly, I say to you, whoever believes in me will also do the works that I do, and greater works than these he will do, because I am going to the Father. Whatever you ask in my name, this I will do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. If you ask me anything in my name, I will do it." This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Let's pray together. Father God, we thank you for your word. We thank you for the truth that's contained in the Bible. We thank you that we are free to read it and learn from it. And Father, now we pray that you would open up our hearts and our minds to hear again your message, to hear your words for our heart, and to challenge us and to shape us and to make us into your people. In Jesus' name, amen. So I want to start by making some statements of fact this morning. And I believe that these are all indisputable. They are above questioning. So the first one is going to come up right now. Arsenal are the best football team in London. Okay. Dogs make better pets than cats. I'm kind of over bang here, aren't I? Okay, next one. Men are stronger than women. And the last one. I'm the best dad in the world. You know, I can't believe that some of you are disagreeing with me on these. Surely it's obvious that each of these statements are true. Or perhaps they're true for me. And in making these statements, I'm sure that maybe I've made some of you feel a little bit uncomfortable. And that's not surprising because of the culture that we live in right now. You see, we are taught to question and to explore and to discover, to work things out for ourselves. And as Lisa explained last week, we are living in a postmodern society where there's no big story to life, and people are free to question and challenge and to find the worldview that works for them. For example, a typical postmodern view would claim that there is no absolute truth. It would argue that truth comes from all kinds of places and that truth can be dependent on a person's viewpoint. Essentially, it says that what is true for you may not be true for me. So I guess you would have different statements of fact than mine. A postmodernist view would say that we can choose from a menu of truths to build our own picture of the absolute, and that absolute only really works for me. We are taught that we should not push our truth onto others, and that's why these statements of fact at the beginning perhaps were uncomfortable. I wonder, what if I said to you, Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. No one goes to the Father except by him. How does that make you feel? Would you be brave enough to say those words to somebody that you met, a stranger on the street, or a friend maybe that had a different view to you? Could you speak those words? If the answer is that you agree with that statement, but that you would struggle to share it with somebody else, then I guess you would have a postmodernist mindset. You can agree with the statement and own it for yourself, but that ownership and this worldview do not allow you to speak it out in such an absolute way about what it is that you believe. If you're still not convinced that we have this worldview, how do you respond when you see someone standing in the town, preaching on a box, with people walking by, telling them what they need to believe? If I'm honest, I feel a little bit embarrassed when I walk by them. I feel embarrassed for them, and perhaps I feel a little bit embarrassed for myself. It's not that I disagree with what they're saying. It's not that I'm embarrassed about what it is that I believe. It's purely and simply that my worldview, the way I've grown up, is to reject such absolute teaching, for somebody to stand there and tell me what it is that I have to believe. And I guess when I walk past people like that, I look around and I see other people also rejecting it because it's an absolute and they've got questions. And for me, that in a nutshell is the problem for the church. The church has a history of dealing in absolutes, or at least that's the impression that we've given. You see, we learn from our history books that the church has sought to impose its ideas and opinions and morals onto the world. The impression of the church through history is that it deals in absolutes and it expects everybody to go along with it. That's how our postmodern world views the church. It views it with suspicion because of history. The words of John 14:6, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one goes to the Father except by me, are some of the key words that are thrown at the church regarding our relationship with other faiths. We are accused of trying to discredit or disprove them on the basis that they do not have Jesus. But is that really what this passage is saying? Is it really what the church has been saying? Is it really what the church should be saying? Can we have an absolute position? And if so, how do we explain it to those around us? So what is the passage saying? Well, the passage is part of a section of John's Gospel known as the Farewell Discourse. It actually starts in chapter 13 and verse 31. It starts when Judas has left to go and betray Jesus. And then Jesus begins to teach those disciples that remain. Jesus speaks about going where they cannot follow. But the disciples do not understand what Jesus is saying, and they ask him some questions. Firstly, Peter in chapter 13, verse 36, and then Thomas in this chapter, verse 5, and then Philip in verse 8. Each of them seeking to know where Jesus is going, wondering how they will follow and how they're going to recognize it when they get to the destination. I don't know if you spot it, but for me there is a real sense of panic and despair amongst the disciples in this passage. They'd each given up on family and friends and jobs to follow Jesus around the country as one of his disciples. And now he's talking about going away without them, but they don't know where he's going. To make it worse, it feels like Jesus is talking to them in code, as he so often did. But Jesus is really trying to help them to see one of the key aspects of his ministry. He's trying to help them understand that what happens next is the climax to his whole ministry. This is what it was always all about. If they want to be in a relationship with God, they need to be in a relationship with Jesus. It is more than just following him around the country, listening to him and experiencing his miracles. In fact, if we are to understand this passage properly, Jesus does not require them to physically go anywhere. Jesus says to them, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one goes to the Father except by me." Perhaps we could say it in a different way. "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one goes to the Father except with me." This is not about physically going anywhere. There's no physical journey that we need to make to get to be with God. It's about being with Jesus. This passage speaks about relationship and connection to Jesus, and through him, connection with God. As we read this interplay of questions and answers between Jesus and the disciples, it is clear that the disciples are displaying a desire to see God. "How will we know?" they say. "Show us the way." They want to know and see God for themselves, to call him Father, just as Jesus does. It is a desire that humans have always had. It is a desire to see, to have confirmed, to understand, and to ultimately stand in front of the Creator, to stand in the very presence of God. Recently, Grace and I have watched, or well, at least I did, I think Grace may have been reading a book, one of the first Star Trek movies. And it basically involved a strange cloud heading towards Earth in a threatening way. Captain Kirk and the crew of the Enterprise are sent to make contact and to save the day. At the centre of the cloud was a spaceship, and at the heart of a spaceship was V'ger. V'ger was searching for the Creator, and it wanted to share and gain knowledge from the Creator. Anyone seen the movie? Some of you are nodding. Well, if you know the film, you'll know that V'ger is in fact Voyager 6, a satellite probe sent out by NASA to harvest data on the solar system and then to report its findings back to the Creator, to NASA. It gets lost in a black hole, but eventually it seeks to complete its mission. V'ger, or Voyager, causes chaos across the galaxy as it searches and seeks to seek out the Creator to communicate its message with it. I think this is a good illustration for each of the disciples, but also for us. As like V'ger, we have a desire to connect with the Creator. In our second reading this morning from Exodus 33, where Moses requests to see God, what do we see? We see Moses trying to connect with God, wanting to see and stand before God. But Moses is only allowed to see God's back. Anything else would have been too much to bear. Even Moses, probably one of the figures in history who was most connected to God, had this desire to see him face to face. I believe that many in our world today share that same desire. In their search for understanding and for truth, they would welcome the chance to stand face to face with the Creator. In a world that believes that there is no absolute truth, isn't it strange to find people searching for that very truth that they say doesn't exist? If we're on a journey to find God, we need to ask the same question as the disciples. How do we get there? In this passage, Jesus gives us the answer. He tells us clearly that there is one path to follow. There is one path, but there are different journeys. We have an image of Jesus, don't we, as a shepherd leading his sheep. Jesus talks about himself as being the good shepherd. John uses the language to describe Jesus as a shepherd a lot in his gospel. Even in the Psalms, there's a shepherding quality given to the nature of God. But the trouble is, if we're not careful, we can get stuck in our thinking that Jesus is a shepherd who will lead us, and we all follow along behind him. If we stick with this image, then we, like the flock of sheep, will travel the same route. We'll all share the same experiences, all of us at the same time. And in a way, that is the trap that the disciples have fallen into here. They want to know where Jesus is going. They want to be able to follow him. They have it in their minds that this is a physical journey, that they will walk together, following closely behind the shepherd. They can follow him. At least they can journey behind him. But they cannot go with him until he has travelled the route first. That is the cross and the tomb. Both must be overcome before others are able to follow. Listen again to the words of Jesus, this time from J.B. Phillips' translation. "I myself am the road," replied Jesus, "and the truth and the life. No one approaches the Father except through me." Jesus here is giving us another image to understand. Jesus is not just the pathfinder or the trailblazer. He is all of that, but is also more than that. You see, Jesus is the path itself. It's not by following Jesus that we get to God's house. It is by living as Jesus lived, doing as Jesus did, loving as Jesus loved. Jesus is not the messenger. He is the message. There are a number of ways that this verse can be translated. If you look at it in a different way, we can see that Jesus may not have been making free statements at all about himself. He maybe isn't describing himself as the way, and as the truth, and as the life. It's equally possible, you see, that Jesus was saying that he was the true and living way. His words, he's saying, are the words to follow. His message is the message to trust. Living the Jesus way is the true and living way for each of us. In a world that is telling us that there is no absolute truth to be found, we know that this truth is found in the person of Jesus. He is the pathway that leads us home to the Father. We follow one pathway. That is the way of Christ. But each of us has different journeys. The final destination is the same, but the routes we take to get there are different. The route we take is the route that Jesus gives to each one of us. It's our own path, our own journey to truth and to life. This journey can lead us in all kinds of ways, and it can lead us to all kinds of places. None of those places, none of those ways are more or less important than the others. But each one is unique to us. We all travel on the one pathway. That pathway is Jesus. My pathway is different to yours. God's leading me to Oundle to experience new things, to face new challenges and to continue my journey in a different direction to you. But that's okay. That's God's way. We're all going to end up in the same place, in God's house, celebrating together one day. Some may get there quicker than others. Some may get there with less scars. But we will get there and experience the joy that is ours because of our connection to Christ and our willingness to follow him. I'm looking forward to hearing news of how God is leading you forward as a church and as individuals. And I want to encourage you this morning, each of you, to discover the journey that God has called you to. I want to encourage you to follow and to continue to walk God's pathway. Walk with Jesus. Go where he leads. Let's pray. Father God, we want to thank you for Jesus, for sending him to this world. For his willingness to point us towards you. Not just to be a guide, not just to be a messenger, but to be the pathway that we need to walk back to you. That he is the message that we need to hear and understand and own and believe for ourselves, that we might be close to you. Thank you for his willingness to walk in this world. Thank you for his willingness to die in our place. Thank you that he rose to life again, opening up the pathway that each one of us may walk and walk close to you. Father, we pray that you would be close to each one of us on our journeys, that we would stay close to the path, that we would always seek to follow the way of Jesus, to be loving and compassionate and kind and caring and thoughtful, to be mindful of all that Jesus taught. Father, help us as our journeys take different paths and we go in different ways. Protect us when life gets tough. Celebrate with us when life is good. And at all times, help us to see you and walk with you. Father, thank you for all that you do for us. In Jesus' name, amen.